Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so Cavs, Celtics. Here we go again. Eastern Conference Finals. We bring in John Schulman from NBA.com. And, of course, he is hanging out on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Hey, your thoughts on this series as we see part two with a whole lot of new faces compared to last year in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Let's see. I can make a lot of arguments for the Celtics. I think they've been sort of the better team, over the course of the season, even over the course of the playoffs. The Cavs have won six of their eight wins have been by 4 points or less. That tells me that, they're not as good as, we would just sort of think on the surface. The Celtics have a lot of bodies that can match it, that can defend LeBron James, or at least defend LeBron James as well as you possibly could, and try to stay in front of him so that they can stay home on the Cavs shooters. They have Al Horford, which is about as tough of a matchup for Kevin Love as you're going to find. They had number one defense in the regular season, and they've, I think, grown offensively over the last couple months without Kyrie Irving. A lot of their young players have really stepped up, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, specifically, and they've been able to take advantage of sort of certain matchups in their playoff series. And we saw them sort of take advantage of Redick and Bellinelli in the last round, and, there'll be some Cavs defenders that they will certainly target in this series. But, the Cavs have the ultimate difference maker, and that, and LeBron James has sort of been solving all these puzzles in the past. He's figured out, even though this Cavs team isn't that great, how to win games, and especially late in games in these playoffs. Like I said, six or eight wins have been by 4 points or less. So he's and obviously he's been the guy down the stretch of all their games. So it's tough to pick against him. I think if you're looking at a Boston perspective, there's things to feel pretty good about, though.
John, Jeff Phelps here. Good to have you with us. Two things I've been thinking about with this series, and I said before the playoffs started, my concern about the Cavs was the lack of continuity. They had a new team at the beginning of the year. They changed the team in February, the trade deadline, and then didn't have everybody together until the Indiana series. It hasn't caught up to them yet. And then from the Celtics standpoint, does their youth and inexperience and lack of Gordon Hayward and now Kyrie Irving catch up to them? Which one do you think is more likely to catch up to a team in this series?
That's a great question. And I think it's all going to come down to one end of the floor, because if you think about the Cavs' lack of continuity, I think that probably shows up more on defense, right?
Yeah.
Communication, switching effectively, one guy thinks they're switching, one guy thinks they're not, rotations on defense, I'm going to rotate here because I know somebody's got my back on the other, is going to rotate behind me. And then the Cavs without Kyrie, the Celtics without Kyrie obviously shows up on their offensive end of the floor. And as much success as they had attacking certain mismatches against Philadelphia, they also had some offensive droughts. They scored less than a point per possession, which is bad, in both of their games in Philadelphia. They've had some unexpectedly good offensive performances as well. But even within those games, there's some times where they start to struggle on offense. And obviously, LeBron is a guy who can take advantage of a bad stretch from another team as well as anybody. So I think that'll be the end of the end. You know, obviously the Cavs offense and how potent it can be versus the Celtics defense is huge. But I think it's the other end of the floor that probably determines the series, in that, you know, how it can Boston overcome its lack of, I want to say, like, juice off the dribble, right? And that's what they're missing with Kyrie, a guy who can create something off the dribble by himself. If they can overcome that against the Cavs defense, that can be exposed in certain ways.
When you look at the Cavs throughout the playoffs and the fact that George Hill missed those three games against Indiana, how much of a difference does he make in this series? And as you watch the Cavs in general, how much better do you think they are today than that game seven against Indiana?
It's a great question. I think, you know, for Hill, I think he's really good. He's good. You know, he hasn't had the best season, obviously. But the question with him is more about who's playing instead of him. You know, I love Jose Calderon, and he's solid and does his job. But obviously, and he's a good shooter, but not a quick shooter. He doesn't have a quick release, so he needs time and space to shoot. He's going to take care of the ball, but he's not going to create much off the dribble. And then Jordan Clarkson's just been terrible. I mean, there's no going around that. He's been really bad. So Hill's presence just, you know, minimizes the minutes for those guys as much as anything. And he's a solid defender. You know, he's been a part of, you know, a number one defense in Indiana, a really good defense in Utah last year. And so that his length makes a difference. And, you know, if he's switched on to, you know, one of the Cavs big wing or one of the Celtics big wings, you know, that obviously helps. You know, he could do a better job of staying in front of those guys and contesting shots more than those other two guys that I mentioned.
John Schumann joining us from NBA.com. When you look at this series, John, does the supporting cast of LeBron James jump into your head right away? And I ask that only because the narrative has been, since the trade deadline especially, that it's LeBron and nobody else. And some days it's looked that way, and other days it hasn't. And he's talked about this team, that he likes it and everything else. Indiana series, I think Kevin Love was the only other guy to average in double figures at 11. In the Toronto series, six Cavs averaged in double figures. And I'm kind of thinking, all right, what's going to happen here? And does that narrative come to play in this Celtics series?
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't just look at it like what these guys did. I mean, you have to first look at what Boston's doing defensively and what they're trying to take away. I think the Celtics will err on the side of playing LeBron one-on-one and, you know, switching screens, but then switching a screen just to play, you know, whoever switches is just going to play him one-on-one too. And they'll just and try to stay at home on the other guys. So that could limit the numbers of the other guys, right? But, you know, we'll see if the Cavs look to get a matchup advantage for Love in the post. And so, you know, allow him to try to do some things offensively. And then for JR, I think, you know, what I've liked about him at times in the last couple months is his willingness to do things off the dribble. You know, he hasn't been this just sort of solely a three-point shooter as much as he was in his first few years in Cleveland. And if Celtics are playing, you know, try to play straight up one-on-one, you know, the Cavs need somebody else to do some things off the dribble and try to create advantages that way, rather than just depend on LeBron to create every shot. So if JR can do some things with the ball, I think that could be really important. So, I mean, I don't necessarily look at, you know, points or whatever. Yeah, you got to look at how these guys shoot off of the attention that LeBron draws. But I think first you got to figure out, you know, how is Boston defending them and you know, where the opportunities are for these guys first.
John, how did Brad Stevens not get a vote for Coach of the Year? And I guess it doesn't mean anything if you ask Dwayne Casey today. So how did that happen?
It's a good question. You know, with the coaches, Coach of the Year voting, there's only one, you know, you only pick one, right?
Right.
And I get that kind of question a lot when I do the GM survey at the beginning of every season, where it's like, how is player X not on the top, in the top five, you know, power forwards in the league or something? It's like, well, because they only name one, right? And player X is obviously behind player Y in regard in most GM's mind. But Steven's not getting a coach of the year vote. It's interesting. You know, I voted for Casey actually first on my ballot, but then I had some combination of Stevens and Brett Brown, I think, second and third. I would, if you looked at me and, you know, I wouldn't have had him number one. And so, and it's just, you know, you'd have to go ask all 29 guys, you know, why they didn't, you know, all 29 other coaches, why they didn't have him number one. I don't, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I don't think we'll see how it comes in the media voting, but you know, every person's got a different ballot. And there, I think there were like four or five guys that you could say a legit case for number one. And so if everybody had those other four guys as their number one, then, you know, he gets left out. But it's interesting, but yeah, not too much to worry about.
Especially now because it comes with a case of pink slip. So who wants it now?
Jeff. Yeah, that's tough. Like, how do you measure 82 games of excellence versus four games of, you know,
running into
LeBron in the playoffs? You know, it's a tough situation there in Toronto.
John, Western Conference, does Houston have enough to pull off an upset, even though they're the number one seed over Golden State?
You know, if you asked me a couple of weeks ago, I'd probably be more bullish on the Rockets than I am now, just because I saw sort of Golden State take a real step forward defensively over the last couple of weeks. New Orleans had the number one offense in the first round, and the Warriors basically shut them down in the conference semis. And I think that was an encouraging sign, because I think it was on that end of the floor where the Warriors sort of fatigue and you know, disinterest showed up most in the regular season. I mean, they're still a top 10 defensive team, but they didn't play at the level that they're used to playing. And so it was, I think for me going into the playoffs, you know, Curry's health was obviously issue number one. But I was curious to see how, if, you know, the Warriors would sort of, find their defensive intensity again, and I think they have, and so that's encouraging from their perspective in regard to playing Houston. You know, it'll be interesting. I think the Rockets have a shot. A lot of it's just going to depend on how well they shoot, and you know, Clint Capella could be sort of an X factor in, you know, his size and his matchup advantage, especially if Golden State is playing small at center for most of the series. I still favor the Warriors, though.
John, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Of course, we'll read you at NBA.com, too. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
All right, guys. Anytime.
All right, John Schulman. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, too, at John Schulman. Just easy, JohnSchumann. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.